This is Radio Boston. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. Massachusetts may make history if the judge that Governor Deval Patrick nominated today as Chief Justice of the state Supreme Judicial Court is confirmed. Here's Patrick at the nomination of Justice Roderick Ireland earlier today.
As many of you know, Chief Justice Marshall was the first woman ever to serve as Chief Justice of the SJC. We are making history again today. Justice Ireland will be the first African-American to serve as Chief Justice of our SJC.
Justice Ireland is the most senior member of the SJC. He served on the High Court since 1997, and he grew up in modest surroundings in Springfield, Massachusetts.
You know, for me, this is a great story, of course. My nomination says that anything is possible, no matter where you come from and what your background is.
If confirmed, Ireland will replace the retiring Chief Justice Margaret Marshall. We'll hear more about who Justice Ireland is and about his background in just a few minutes. But first, to talk about the legal implications of this nomination, we're joined on the phone by David Frank. David is a reporter for Massachusetts Lawyers Weekly. Welcome to Radio Boston, David.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
David, Governor Patrick waited until after his reelection on Tuesday to announce this nomination. What about the timing of that?
Well, I mean, the governor came out and said that he did not want to make this selection a part of the political debate. And clearly, if the nomination had been announced prior to earlier this week, it could have been fodder for the campaign. But this has been one of the worst kept secrets in the legal community. Justice Ireland's name has been floated about for a long time, and the question has really been not whether Governor Patrick would select him, but whether Justice Ireland was actually interested in taking on the job.
And there was a question about that. Is that right?
There was. I mean, there were several sources that are familiar with the process who told me and told reporters here that Justice Ireland had some real reservations about, one, sort of inserting himself into the political process. And anyone who has covered the governor's council knows that those hearings can be, expect the unexpected, I guess is the best way to say it. They can be pretty unpredictable. And there's a large task that the Chief Justice of the SJC has to face in terms of making decisions about the budget and leading the court through some difficult financial times. So not an easy decision to make. And clearly, Justice Ireland was the candidate that the governor wanted for a long time. And it'll be very interesting to see how he takes on the leadership role.
Now, Patrick says that Ireland's race was at best a secondary, maybe even a tertiary reason for picking him. But how important do you think it is that Ireland would be the first African-American to serve as Chief Justice?
Well, Sasha, I mean, it's part of the dialogue. It's to not address the historic nature of the selection, which the governor did, and which clearly is a part of the conversation. That obviously is a key factor. But this is certainly not a candidate who's coming out of nowhere. I mean, a couple of months ago we talked about the Supreme Court nominee, the Justice Kagan, and there was a difference between that kind of nomination and this. Kagan came to the process with literally no history on the bench. We knew nothing about what kind of judge she would be. The exact opposite exists here with Justice Ireland. He has been deciding cases for more than three decades. For 34 years, he has been deciding cases. So race is obviously part of the conversation today. But if you want to know about Justice Ireland and you want to sort of figure out what kind of jurist he's going to be as the Chief Justice of the SJC, all you have to do is look at 34 years of history.
So let's look at some of the cases he's been involved in, particularly ones he's dissented in. There was one that I think when it happened got a fair amount of attention. This was after the state high court had ruled in the same-sex marriage case when the court legalized same-sex marriage in Massachusetts. Another case came forward and the SJC ruled that gay couples who live in states where same-sex marriage is prohibited cannot marry in Massachusetts. Now, Ireland said that ruling was fundamentally unfair.
Right, and that was a really closely watched case because, I mean, certainly when the Goodridge case came out, it was an historic decision that is talked about throughout the country. And whenever you have the court issuing a matter of first impression, you know, making a decision that's never been made before, the inevitable result is that the next couple of cases that come to the court's attention are ones that really don't have the benefit of precedent, don't have the benefit of history. And certainly the case that you're making reference to was one of those. There were a lot of judges, a lot of legal scholars who have impressive degrees on their walls who couldn't figure out what the right ruling was. There were differences of opinion on the subject.
Now, and David, that was
a lot of people.
I'm
a lot
sorry.
Of people surprised with how the majority went, but clearly Justice Ireland felt that it would be fundamentally unfair to deny same-sex couples access to marriage.
And David, in the brief time we have left, that was certainly a more liberal ruling. There was a more conservative ruling by Ireland that you covered, in which the SJC ruled that students who attend private schools don't have the same protections against unreasonable searches. This involved a kid who was charged with, I think, a weapons or drugs found in his locker, and because he wasn't at a public school, the SJC said you don't have the same protections. Ireland agreed with that.
He did agree, but what was really interesting, he wrote a concurring opinion in which he said, I think the result is right. I think the majority was right. But he really urged private schools to implement new policies, to sort of take away the gray area and set policies that very clearly spell out for students what their rights are and what they aren't.
Very quickly, David, tell us what's next in the confirmation process.
Well, the Governor's Council hearings, and those of us who covered Justice Botsford and Gantz know that they're crazy. I certainly would expect the members of the Governor's Council to look through 34 years of cases and, kind of pick apart those that they feel are worth mentioning. It's going to be interesting to see whether that takes place prior to the new Governor's Council coming in or before.
David Frank, thank you very much for all this. David Frank
my
is
pleasure.
David is a reporter with Massachusetts Lawyers Weekly. Roderick Ireland grew up in the western Massachusetts city of Springfield, and that's a fact he's very proud of.
Springfield is where I learned about hard work and about education. Just last week, I had the opportunity to go back to the elementary school that I attended as a child, the William N. DeBerry Elementary School. And that was where they taught me about the importance of education.
One of Ireland's schoolmates at that elementary school in Springfield was Wayne Budd, the former U.S. attorney for Massachusetts. Budd is now a senior counsel at the law firm Goodwin Procter in Boston, and Budd's friendship with Roderick Ireland continues today. I asked Budd why he thought Patrick picked Justice Ireland for the state's top judicial job.
Roderick Ireland, I know him as Rick Ireland, would be the guy right from central casting. And I say that because if you look at his educational background, his educational pedigree, with a bachelor's degree, 2 degrees in law, PhD, his 33 years of experience as a judge, starting in the juvenile court, rising up to the appeals court, and then on to the Supreme Judicial Court 13 years ago, what better person at what better time?
So you've just described his professional career largely, although you knew him when he was in grammar school, I believe. Were you grammar school classmates in Springfield?
Actually, we weren't classmates, and it's a point of dispute between us, but I'll have to concede that I was a couple of grades ahead of him. But yes, we attended the same grammar school, elementary school. It was the William N. DeBerry School in Springfield, Mass., right in the heart of inner city Springfield.
Any insights into the very young man of Roderick Ireland that you can give us?
Well, you know, it's actually in many ways, although Rick is highly educated and very sophisticated guy, in many ways he's the same guy. He's self-effacing. He doesn't take himself serious, but he takes whatever he does seriously, and I think that's an important distinction. He works very, very, very hard. He assumes nothing, takes nothing for granted, and puts the effort in. He will call me in the mornings. We talk often in the mornings, 7:30 in the morning. He likes to try to call my office and before I get there so that he can say, hey, geez, where were you? How come you weren't at work? I'm working. Where are you? So we have a very, very good relationship. And beyond the friendship, I have enormous respect for him. And enormous respect for his accomplishments. And frankly, it's hard for me to imagine the governor selecting a better person. Indeed, I don't think he could have.
Now, Roderick Ireland, of course, is a black man.
Of course.
What do you
so
think?
Am I.
Exactly, so are you. What do you think of the significance of Ireland becoming the first African American to serve as the High Court's Chief Justice, assuming that he's confirmed?
Well, what I thought when he became the first a black person to be an associate justice on that court. The court's been in existence for 300 years. It's the oldest continuous court in the Western Hemisphere continuing in service. And he was the first black person in 1997. So that was a wonderful, wonderful step. Now he becomes one of very, very, very few chief justices of a Supreme Court in any state in the United States. There may be one or two others, I don't know, but he's one of very, very few. So how do I feel? I feel proud of him. I feel proud of the choice the governor's made. I feel proud of Massachusetts that, once again, we're near the front of the line and doing something that's good and positive.
When Roderick Ireland was at the press conference with Deval Patrick today announcing his...
I didn't make that press conference, so I wasn't there. Yeah.
He talked briefly about the importance to him of being from Springfield.
Yeah.
Do you have any insight into how he thinks Springfield changes him as a man?
Well, I think what he was saying, yes, he's very proud of being from Springfield, as I am, and we're proud of our roots. We're Western Massachusetts guys. Springfield is a blue-collar city. It's a scrappy place. And we're proud to be from that area. We think we learned a lot there. Rick, I'm sure that's what he was expressing when he said he's proud to be from Springfield, proud of the education that he gained there, proud of his friends who are from there, and many of whom are still there. So I just think he was reflecting on his own background and roots and just to express that he's proud of them.
Roderick Ireland has talked about wanting to be a role model for young people, and particularly young black men. How do you think he can achieve that on the court in this new job?
Just by being who he is. Just by being who he is. He reaches out to people. He's accessible to many, many, many young people, including but not limited to people of color, including but not limited to lawyers, including but not limited to young people who want to go to college. He is very accessible. I mean, growing up as a lawyer in Massachusetts, I would never have dreamt that there would be a justice of our Supreme Court who would make him or herself as available as Rick does on a daily basis.
Margaret Marshall's legacy, I think it's fair to say, will forever be the Goodrich decision. That, of course, is the one that led to the legalization of same-sex marriage in Massachusetts. Do you have any sense of what you think Ireland would like his legacy to be when it's time for him to step down?
I think what he would want his legacy to be, not necessarily tied to a particular place, but he was a man who took the job on, did his very, very best with it, and at the end of the day, that court, the state Supreme Court, the Supreme Judicial Court, and all the courts of the Commonwealth are better off as a result of the fact that Rick Ireland had served as its Chief Justice.
Wayne Budd, thank you for your time.
You're quite welcome.
Wayne Budd is the former U.S. attorney from Massachusetts, and he's now a senior counsel at the law firm Goodwin Procter in Boston. He's also a longtime friend of the man nominated today to be the state's Chief Justice, Roderick Ireland. We have to take a break, but when we come back, the Democrats may have swept Massachusetts on Tuesday, but it was a different story up in New Hampshire and Maine. We'll take the temperature of New England's new political climate. Plus, we visit Faneuil Hall, where archaeologists are digging 300 years into Boston's maritime past. Stay with us. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. This is Radio Boston.